Good morning. We're going to sing a great hymn of praise this morning, and it's to a lovely Gaelic tune that I know you'll love. Thank you.
Let's join together in worship in a responsive call. If you come knowing you are flawed and in need, then you're in the right place.
We all have a place in God's grace.
If you come feeling small in the presence of God, then you are in the right place.
In God, small find welcome and a true welcome.
If you've come full of gratitude for all that God has done, then you're in the right place.
We come to give our wholehearted thanks and praise.
And let's join in singing the hymn 422, Come Holy Spirit Come.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed that dose of Charles Wesley's theology, the whole sweep from our discipleship in Christ ending us to perfect love in heaven. The themes through the hymn of the wisdom of God being upside down to that of the world are very much the themes of the readings and our service this morning. A very warm welcome to everyone today. A welcome whether it's the first time you've been for a while, or you're a visitor, or you're here almost every Sunday. We all have a place in God's family, and all are welcome here. We're going to read responsively from the psalm for today, and it's the first of the psalms. Those who study the psalms as a unit tell us that the early ones come towards the beginning and the later ones are at the end. Isn't that surprising? But they've been bookended. So the first and the last are probably two of the last that are written. So it's not one of the earliest psalms. It picks up many of its themes and is a lovely one for us to reflect on today in the context of what will follow. So we'll read and then we'll have a few minutes to reflect on some nature and music with words from the psalm. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked,
or take the path that seems straight, or sit in the seat of scoffers.
But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water,
which yield fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all that they do, they prosper.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment,
for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Let's continue in prayer. Creator God, you are the beginning and home of everything. You weave creation into being and craft this tapestry of humanity. You make us one people, and you are worthy of all our praise. Lord Jesus, teacher and healer and friend, word of God and one with us, your love for us took you to the darkest of places and beyond. You are our light and our hope. Spirit of God within and among us, mystery and energy, disturber and bringer of new life. You inspire us to live beyond our small horizons. God of grace, your love never ends. Your mercy blows our minds and your faithfulness continues to surprise us. Here in your presence, we remember that we are known, we are secure and loved. And so in confidence, we come to you with our prayers of confession and we pray responsively. God of mercy, we confess that we have let many things come between our daily lives and your eternal reign. We draw near to you now, O God, draw near to us. We confess that we too often let anger, apathy, and hectic schedules come between us and those we love. We draw near to you now, God. Draw near to us. We confess that we make mistakes in our life, together as your church, We've not extended our hands and hearts in welcome to all who need your love and mercy. We draw near to you now, O God. Draw near to us. We come humbly seeking your forgiveness and longing for your words of welcome. We pray in the name of the one who welcomed each of your children and told us to do the same. We draw near to you now, O God. Draw near to us. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Receive the grace of God who calls us to be great in those things that matter most. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the Gospel today, Jesus welcomes the little children and says, "Whoever welcomes one such as these welcomes me." So we're going to sing a song that reminds us of Jesus' upside-down ethic. It might be a new tune, but it's a nice, easy one for us to pick up. Let's just listen to the tune through and then we'll stand and sing. Bright one. It was written by John Lane, who used to be one of the directors of Scripture Union and a member of the North Ringwood Uniting Church. There might even be one or two here who knew John Lane fairly well. When we come to our readings, there's the story of Jesus and the children. Now, I just wanted to check with you about your general knowledge of the Gospels and see if we could put together a brief survey of how many times Jesus interacts with children. Now, it can't be too hard. I know you've all been to church before. There it is. Good. Thank you. So I know you've read some of those Gospels. They're, you know, the parts at the beginning of the New Testament where Jesus travels around the country. And how many stories do we know
of Jesus dealing with children? Just the one. Is it this one?
Two.
There might be one or two. Thank you. There's some healing stories with children, yes. There's one other one I thought of too when I was... Sorry? The loaves and the fishes, that's right. In one of the Gospels, it's about a boy's lunch, isn't it? So, Jesus talking to children... Yes, that's actually this one. It is in the King James Version. Yes. We get the wrong idea, I think, of suffer the children these days. It's not what Jesus is not saying that children should suffer. It's let them come. That's right. Different way of using words. Yeah, that's it. There aren't any more. It was a hard question, wasn't it? So I think we should listen to the gospel now and then to what James has to say to us this week. Thanks, Tilly.
Okay, our first reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands. They will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." And the second reading is from James chapter 3, verses 13, and then chapter 4, 3, 7 to 8. "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflict. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word, for the gift that you give us in your wisdom. And we pray that the seeds of your wisdom might find a place in our living to grow and to bear much fruit to your glory. For in Christ we pray. Amen. Now, it is true that for most cases, children are of no interest to the gospel writers, except this once. The other stories are about Jesus doing things to or for children. But I guess there was probably a gaggle of kids who hung around with the grandmas and the aunties and the mums who were part of the gathering around Jesus. We don't know if Jesus played with or joked with the kids. Did he listen to their hopes and dreams? Did he commiserate with the awkwardness of growing up? Did he see things through their eyes? Did the kids get special stories? Would he perhaps playfully reverse the power dynamics with a word here, a quick smile to the kids there? An inclusive gesture. I can imagine that. Whoever receives a child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. It's a big statement. It's a statement that assumes Jesus' familiarity with the kids. It takes the powerless and it puts them above the others. It takes the insignificant from out on the periphery and places them into the center. This is one of Jesus' most subversive actions. And I think it's no accident that it happens at this point in the gospel. In Jesus' story today, there's been an ugly clash of competition. Perhaps there was a spill motion brewing amongst the disciples. And in a flash, Jesus takes a child and puts her in the middle of them and makes this point. Why a child? It's a good question, I think, to start with. Why does Jesus put a child in the middle of this discussion at this point? I like the poet William Blake's reflection on the nature of childhood as a beginning. To be a child, he says, is to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower, to hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. But I think Jesus is not being cute about potential. He's shining a light on openness and lack of guile against the disciples' competitive thinking and their argumentative power model. Now, in some families, the rule that comparisons are odious is supreme, but in others, growing is more like a marathon in a competitive gene pool. His or hers is bigger than, better than mine. He or she is brighter than or better behaved, or more outgoing, and on it goes. Jesus shows us in this short story that in God's family there is to be a very different set of values at work. Jesus' teaching is about their competitiveness, about a quality that might have some good elements, but more often we see the worse come of it. There were two traders once who were bitter rivals. They spent their days staring across the street at each other, Whenever one got a customer, he would grin in triumph at his rival. Now one night, as it often happens in fables, an angel appears to one of the traders in a dream and says, "God has sent me to teach you a lesson. God will give you anything you ask for, but whatever you get, your competitor will get twice as much. You can be wealthy, but he will be twice as rich. You can be famous, live long, whatever you like, but your rival will be twice that." The man frowned and thought and scratched his head. Then he said, "All right, give me one black eye." Competitiveness can be a terrible curse. I love the way Jesus deals with competition among his disciples. Rivalry can do much harm, and the lesson to correct its influences might need to be drastic. You might think of some other famous rivalries. Political parties seem to be full of them, don't they? Imagine listening to the disciples in their chatting. "I had Jesus over to lunch with my whole family the other day. Oh well, he healed my mother-in-law, but I sat next to Jesus 7 times in the last week." You know, all of that is written there just under those lines. You can hear the pettiness. Little wonder then, when Jesus gets the disciples together inside, he wants to know what all of that was meant to be about. They were awkward and embarrassed. But then Jesus doesn't attack their pettiness or give them a tongue lashing for their small-minded bickering. His approach models his values as much as his words do. Now, we mostly attribute value to those who have power and think it's about having wealth and political influence. People then attribute greatness to such people because of their power. But Jesus turns this on its head. True greatness, not about power. True greatness is to be like Jesus. So he takes a small child and puts her in the middle of them. Women and children seem to just slip naturally into the stories at points like this. And then with the child in the centre, Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." So there's more than just sentiment here about kids. Jesus was busy with important matters. So his followers quite naturally thought Jesus wouldn't want to be bothered with children. They would get in the way. They would just take up his valuable time. The disciples thought this attention should all be for the adults, for those who could understand. But Jesus wanted to broaden their minds. It was children, Jesus said, who could understand better than adults. And he wasn't speaking about a soppy idea of the innocence of childhood. No, the kids were real. They'd probably been disobedient and cheeky at times, like most kids and most of us. The first are last. The children are key people. Welcoming vulnerable and unimportant are vital in God's way. Jesus shows again and again that the values of God's kingdom are completely upside down to the way most of the world thinks. The 13th century Sufi mystic poet, who I don't often quote, but here we are, writes of a young man seeking advice. "The villagers point the man to a fellow playing horse with children. He has a keen, fiery insight and vast dignity like the night sky, but he conceals it in the madness of child's play, they say. The young man asks the wise man why he hides his wisdom. The people here want to put me in charge. They want me to be judge and magistrate and interpreter of all the texts. The knowing I have doesn't want that. It wants to enjoy itself. I am a plantation of sugar cane, and at the same time I'm eating the sweetness. This is from Rumi's poem. Knowledge that is acquired is not like this. Those who have it worry if audiences like it or not. It's a bait for popularity. Disputational knowing wants customers. It has no soul. Robust and energetic before a responsive crowd, it slumps when no one is there. Chew quietly your sweet sugar cane God love and stay playfully childish. To welcome one such child is a challenging invitation. Even when we have a UN declaration on the rights of the child, every day we see images of children and their families fleeing war zones for their safety, taking dangerous journeys. We hear of unwelcoming governments, razor wire and tear gas. Our world still has child slavery and children who are forced into even worse. What would it mean for us not to bicker about who's responsible, but to simply do things to help? Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me and the one who sent me. Here in Australia, we know that Indigenous poverty affects children most severely, and the symptoms of hopelessness and its causes are awful. Whoever welcomes one such child welcomes me and the one who sent me, says Jesus. And if there's a challenge here for us, it's to think about what do we do in answer to these words of Jesus. This is obviously about more than smiling kindly at children. This is a direct challenge to you and to me to help the small, the weak, the powerless ones in our community and in our world. Jesus' exhibit A for what constitutes greatness among mortals is not wealth or power. By Jesus' teaching, it's the one that is most open to welcoming the little ones. We know there are many of those who are now last, who need help, who need aid, who need to be put first. Helping the smallest, the least, the powerless is the mark of greatness by Jesus' standard. So where are we here now in this? Well, as a church community, there's what we do in our families and individually. There's our hosting of a kindergarten and our running of a weekly playgroup and hosting a young vulnerable mum's playgroup, and we reach out to and include kids and families with our messy church. As we listen to Jesus, this is important stuff. What more can we do? The call to us is to reflect the values of Jesus in who we are and in what we do, to value the little ones, to welcome all, and in so doing, we welcome God. Amen. We're going to sing together the hymn, Father in Heaven, and hope we recognise the tune okay. Some of the things that we do in response to the gospel, we'll hear about in our sharing and notices. Thanks, Mary.
Good morning, everyone.
Amen.
Enjoying the spring weather? A bit of everything, isn't it? And keeping warm. But the notices, I'm starting on page 3 of the notices, and the trains in the shed, choir practice and craft are all on during the holidays because it's school holidays, but those three groups are meeting this week and next week also. This week on Wednesday, it's not on your list, is the games afternoon at 2:30. So if you like playing board games of any sort, that's a time that you can share with people here. It's at 2:30 this coming Wednesday, the 25th, I think it is. Yes, the 25th at 2:30. And underneath that is a big sign about our coming up boot sale, which we hope will be a good way to raise some money for worthwhile things. So that's Saturday the 12th from 9 to 1:30. And all the details are there, but we do need helpers. So if you're willing to help in any way, you can sign, there's a sheet in the passageway there you can sign or see David about it. So that's the car boot sale coming up on Saturday the 12th. Then if we go to page 2, Ian will be having holidays very soon now, and he'll be away for 2 Sundays. And during those Sundays, Jeff Liney will take one service and Eric Smith will take the other. We need a new webmaster, if you feel you're inclined that way, because Lindsay's retiring after many years. And an interesting note down there, did you know that we all have a responsibility to update our child safety records as members of the Uniting Church? So there's a website there to go to, and it's important that we're aware of those things, because children are important, as Ian's been telling us this morning, are very important, and their safety is important. And I have a notice here to read from the Synod, from the Justice International Mission. And this is, and there are sheet to sign on this, I'll read it out to you. Members are invited to write to key decisions makers to address the harm done to the public by corporations pushing unhealthy food, gambling, and alcohol by the exploitative marketing practices. You can respond by signing the letter in the foyer. So that's there for you to do too. So I think that is all the notices. There's lots of notices. I didn't even mention it, page 4 or 1. And there's lots more there to read and take in and pray for. Thanks, Ian. Well, you're very welcome at morning tea this morning to share some time together.
We continue to respond to the call of the gospel as we mark our giving for the life and work of the church. We join together in our prayers for others. Let's pray. We have so much to be thankful for, loving God, but we know all is not well for many and for our wider world. As our lives seem more unstable and things we rely on get broken in the wind and our systems seem so fragile. Let our trust be in you, loving God, who never changes. As we find it hard to know just what we should do, what tomorrow might bring, when the world seems less reliable and for many less safe, help us to know who and what to trust. And as we're continually horrified by what we see in Ukraine and Palestine and Lebanon, we know that you surround us and that you do care deeply for us all. We pray that your love will surround all people. We pray that all leaders and those with influence in other countries will deal with people with compassion, that they will genuinely work towards peace, and be enabled to see solutions and dignity for all. And then as we look around us and see the new life of spring, let those signs of your new life fill us with joy too. As creation bursts with life again, inspire us to care for our planet as we should. And help us to trust you that as the spring comes each year, we can trust in you and trust in your wisdom to show us how to plant the seeds of peace and new life in our community and in our world and our relationships as well. And we pray for your church. May the people you gather to be your church come together as a body to help others in your name, to welcome little ones, to unsettle those who are too comfortable in power, unsettle them with truth and confront self-interest with your cry for justice. And let your wisdom flourish in seemingly barren ground and transform selfishness into common good. And reach out with healing to all and shield us from the results of our greed and denial and show us how to plant the seeds of your peace. Loving God, let your abundance take root and grow, beginning with us. We pray for our community. We pray for our friends, our families, and ourselves. And loving God, we name those who are particularly on our hearts and minds to you now in a moment of quiet. Gracious God, we pray for your healing, your compassionate presence, your loving care, as together we say the prayer that you taught, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is another one of those that reminds us of Jesus' upside down ethic and values. Lord, let me see.
Hear the sounds of great rejoicing, hear a person there.
So some words of blessing and then a sung blessing to one another, and then the opportunity to share blessings together in fellowship over morning tea. The peace of God, ever living and always active, be your guide and your comfort. The peace of God that makes the impossible happen, be your strength and your enabler. The peace of God, generously available to all, be your inspiration. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you, that you may be like trees planted by living waters. And the blessing of God remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
All the photos he had on before, beautiful red rocks and...